What's good, Internet? Welcome to Session 76 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I am your host and comic book sorting master, Alex Arona. That's seriously all my time now is just sorting comic books. Also, this is the second take. Keep behind the curtain. With me, as always, is your tragic hero, Joel DeWitt. Joel, you know how much I've spent on bags and boards in the last 3 weeks?
Where are they, Alex? Where's Rachel? I'm not wearing hockey pants.
That's my favorite. Also, Getty, you wrote $150. The answer is closer to $250. But, Joel, I love that impression. Also, it sounds like Kelly likes that impression as well.
Yeah, I was just telling her, do you see what they make me do? This is all on you guys.
With us as well is supreme villain Eric Getty Gettinger. You're really only the villain because you write all this stuff.
You were both adopted into the darkness. I was born there.
Okay, enough of this.
It's bad, right?
This week.
it was like Hillbilly Bane.
Yeah.
That's what I strive to be. The worst Bane possible.
Like in hell here. But seriously, we go to hell in early adopters, meet up with old friends in the news, and see what kind of trouble we can get into for the backlog block. But first, early adopters, where you play alphas, betas, and that review code Joel got, and now he has to play it. Yep, I'm looking at you, Joel. Yep, okay, good. That's kind of how the early adopters work. I come up with a bunch of betas and like games that we got pre-release, and then I send them out, and then you will tell me, oh, I got that one already because I'm reviewing it for a Nintendo World Report. Perfect. I'll actually play this one.
Because he feels obligated.
Yep.
Otherwise, he'd just be like, I'm not going to play that.
Nope. I don't have to play these other ones. Screw nope. You. Well, first, we're going to talk about the one you didn't play. One Shell Straight to Hell. Well, I mean, it's Padres One Shell Straight to Hell. Getty, I apologize for this one.
Yeah, you better.
Okay,
Alex,
so it is
what
a,
the hell?
It is a twin stick shooter where you are an action hero priest.
You're a Padre.
Dropping the hot lines throughout the entire game.
Some of the worst. These are like cheesy, terrible. He's stealing lines from other games.
Let's just get into it. At what point he says,
"Let me get on to you." Here, hold on. I'm commandeering this, Alex.
Okay, I have one. I got the one that matters. At one point he says, "At one point he says, smoking."
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
My huge gripe with it is that like the mask,
like the mask.
This
wow,
the guy who recorded it. And granted, you know, we play a lot of games here, but the guy that recorded it sounds like he recorded it in his bathroom and 10 feet away from the microphone.
He's real echoey. But he's committing to the bit, though. He is gravelly.
He is, mm-hmm. But the other voice actors, the one other voice actor that we got to hear, she did a good job, all right?
Yep.
This guy, I don't know where he recorded, but it just doesn't sound like it's completely different from... there's no consistency.
Is he inside my house somewhere?
He might be. And if he is, be careful. Because this Padre, he knows how to take down some monsters.
Some of the other clips where you go to hell. And I'm trying to think, there was a lot of good ones.
He just at one point recycles action hero lines.
It's a lot. And at one point, the lady next to him that like he's helping get rid of demons in his house kind of just says, well, I hope you got a whole lot of ammo, Padre.
Yeah. Okay. Except she doesn't sound like a guy with a deep voice.
No.
Yeah. There's one part where she's like, oh, we have to go through the ballroom. And he's like, let's dance.
Yeah. There you go.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's dance.
So it's a twin stick shooter, top down. You get different types of weapons and guns, and you are fighting. I want furniture that is obsessed. That it's not obsessed. Possessed by
demons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things that you will encounter. You do fight a hellhound at the end of the first stage, but most of the items are possessed. Some of them are like bugs. You know, they kind of reminded me of a mix between the monsters that you encounter in Prey and a little Half-Life 2. Okay.
Yeah. They're skittery, crawling, almost insect-like.
Yeah, and they have a good variety of different attacks that they'll do, like the chairs. They'll fly across the room at you. Sometimes they'll have teeth and they'll try and eat you. The bugs, some of them explode and they have acid traps. So you have to be careful about how you approach each room.
The problem I had with the game was there's a number of things, but really, you know, again, it's in early access, so that's fair. But it was dark. Like, dark in the way that I found I was having problems visually discerning enemies from nothingness.
Well, the way that you'd have to go from room to room, it's kind of small. I think I would say it's small. Because it does.
Yeah, it's a little claustrophobic.
Yeah. Definitely can agree with that assessment. And I don't know what the game is hoping to achieve after you make it through the first level. So you have to go through room by room. You know, you find the key to unlock this door. You do get different weapons, but once you get past that boss, then it started doing like a horde mode waves of enemies. Mm-hmm. And after you clear the waves of enemies, it's like, hey, it's time to go deeper into the house, into this almost tower structure. And I was a little confused what all the game is, because it seems like you're going to have to go back outside to fight off the hordes again, but it gave us a timer. I don't know if you played through that, Alex.
I got to the boss, lost, I died, and then there wasn't, the respawn was just start the level over.
At the beginning of the game, yeah. Mm-hmm. So after that, it just kind of opens up into, the game is confused. And I'm confused by its confusion. I don't know what it wants to be. You can build traps.
You can build traps?
You can build traps once you get to that second area when you're trying to defend the house. You can build bear traps. Almost I didn't like use any bear traps. I don't even know
like
how to deploy
to
them.
Almost like a tower defense?
It wants to be a dungeon delving loot shooter with six other things going on. I don't know what to tell you.
You guys have been talking for like 5 minutes, and I feel like I know less than I knew when we started.
Yeah. But this game was smoking.
So, twin stick shooter. This being early access, I feel like they have time to really kind of hone in on what the goal is.
Pick.
But some of the things I would say was brighten up the areas. You can brighten up areas and still have it be dark. But I still need to be able to see enemies. Along with that, kind of figure out the path of how you want your game to be, what genre to a certain extent. Going kind of everywhere can feel a little unfocused. And some of the audio could be a little bit fine-tuned, because I could tell you right now, he has a melee. I couldn't hear it. It was a mute melee, and I couldn't tell if it was hitting or doing anything. So there's some things to kind of give what we think One Shell Straight to Hell could be. It could be a very competent twin-stick shooter, Diablo Dungeon-esque kind of game, but we need a little bit more direction with it, and there needs to be a little bit more just fine-tuning of what the game wants to be. Is that
for sure?
Think that would be.
I think there's a good base there. Yeah.
Okay.
But it needs to pick a direction, like you said. There's definite elements that need to be not 100% fixed, but fine tuned, and then I think there'll be a pretty good finished product. I just don't know which direction they want to go at this point, being that this was an alpha. It's a lot to take in.
It does go pretty heavy on trying to do something specific, especially with the action hero quips.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's not a bad idea to have a shotgun priest, you know, having cool action hero quips. That was, what, Preacher? The comic book and TV series?
Yeah. It seemed like it was so, kind of like a nod to Preacher.
Yeah, so it can be done. It just, again.
You would just sort of hope they would at least go for, like, the... Are you done wrestling with the dog? Hi, Nick. Thank you. That's wonderful. You would at least hope they would go for, like, some sort of... Never mind. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
You can edit all that out. It's fine.
Leave it in. So that was, you know what? Take it easy on the editing this week, Joel.
Just let it all hang out this week.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that was Padres, One Shell, Straight to Hell. There's, you know, a lot. There's a good base there. We could see it expanding further. I actually got this confused with this other game that we're going to talk about another episode called Tesla Force. Very similar. Both are fun times. Hashtag fun times. Getty, Joel, you guys played hashtag fun time.
Hashtag fun time. So
further proving my point the last week or two, saying that we've run out of good names for games.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can see that.
I mean, like, it is, you know, hashtag fun time isn't a bad name in and of itself, but for this, I don't get it.
Like, what, you didn't have a fun time?
I did, but I swear they went to like a name generator and, you know, just spit out the first thing and went, okay, let's go with that. Like, you know,
have you not heard of iDarb?
We were about like two clicks away from hashtag Throwback Thursday as being the name of this game.
Would that have been a better name for the game?
I don't know.
It stands,
I don't know,
to
if
reason.
It'd be worse. I don't know if it'd be worse, though.
No.
So, hashtag fun time is a top-down 2D shooter. You're a spaceship, and you are flying around sort of a grid. It's very, like, for someone who hasn't really watched it, kind of Tron-like with, like, the black backscape and sort of the white grid lines, and the ship being the sort of just outline of a ship and not really anything intricate. And so far, it is just a series of different levels. So... some of them are like survival kill rooms where you are having to just fly around the room and avoid enemy like cubes and moving objects and shoot them. Other ones are things like mazes or obstacle courses you have to get around. And they'll have like different spikes and laser grids that can hurt you and stuff. And you have to time like a dash that they've got that allows you to be invulnerable for a short burst. And there's also, like, different challenges, and there's even almost, like, boss battles and stuff, right? So there's one level I've hit so far that it is a boss battle where it's, like, this spherical thing, and around the center, around the outside of it are these different spheres that are multicolored shaped, and you had to sort of fly around it and shoot at it while dodging things, kind of like you would in any other bullet hell game. But the big thing is just that there is a color palette changing mechanic too.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can change the color of your ship to either like red, blue, green, or yellow a la Simon, and it will also start creating a color pattern as you are moving across on the grid below you.
That sounds almost similar to one other game we had that Getty played. Do you remember what that Trigger?
It was Trigger. Trigger.
Like Trigger?
Trigger.
Okay. Yeah. So where are you playing hashtag fun time?
On Switch.
On Switch?
Yep.
Right. And with the colors and everything going on, do you feel it stands to kind of fit in that pantheon of games like I'm trying to think of any kind of those kind of top-down shooters?
It kind of reminds me of, and I can't remember the name of it now, but there was something like this on PlayStation 3, except it wasn't a flat space. It was like a sphere, like a globe, and you were flying around that and shooting at objects. I the name escapes me for it, though.
PS4.
It was PS3, actually, the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Oh, jeez.
I really can't place it, but like it is.
I was thinking of Resogun.
Resogun is akin to that, similar, except that's more like 2D side scrolling instead of top down. But it has a quick, speedy feel to it. So like that's one really good thing about it, is it's really physically satisfying to zip around the level and try to dodge, and you feel that sense of agency that you don't always feel if it's not balanced well. And also the sound design is spectacular. So like I guess I would classify the music to just sort of electronica, for lack of a better descriptor. And it does the sort of thing where like if you get hit by an enemy thing, it'll blur the screen for half a second. The music will sort of like come down to a crawl for a split second, and then it'll quicken back to the normal tempo and beat again, and then it'll be like back to normal. So it has that nice reverb and impact feel as you're getting hit and stuff too.
Yeah, I had a similar experience, but the difference is that I've been playing on PC. So, like Joel said, there's a good diversity of levels. You get a couple that are like race to the finish. My favorite so far is that after you finish that boss fight, Joel, I want to say it's the next one or the one following that, where it's an open stage and you don't have the grid anymore. So
really?
Yeah. In the grid setting, so some of the levels will have this grid, and the color change mechanic, it will change not only the color of your ship, but it also change the tiles that you fly through, and any enemy that corresponds with the color of that tile, they'll explode. So you can actually be flying around shooting at everything and switching colors to try and, you know, kite people into your trail, and you do get more points from doing so. So there's a very big point mechanic system here where you can earn stars for completionist.
It's a 3-star system per level there, and it is all cumulative. As you're dropping enemies, they drop little like green cubes, and it is adding a multiplier to your score, but it's just 0.1 add of a multiplier. So like the way you get the best score is not getting hit at all, because that kills your multiplier, and continuing to cumulatively add those up as they drop on the ground, so you get as much of a as much of a multiplier as possible. And it is a satisfying game. I do wonder, like, you have to be of the mind of wanting to chase those high scores to get good time out of it, just because there's, what, Daddy, maybe like 50 levels total?
At least 50.
50 or 60. So, you know, it is going to be something where if you aren't the kind of person that wants to chase the high score, you probably aren't going to get the longevity out of this that you might want otherwise. But it is a very well put together package.
Okay. That was hashtag fun time. Hashtag fun time. I am very curious about this. So I think that I might take a look at. Do you guys know how much it is on Switch by any chance?
I do not.
I don't.
I
got it as a code from you for Steam, so.
Well, of course, but. Again, that's
hashtag
what I'm like.
Dodd smacking his lips on my lap as we record.
It's like, maybe I should buy this. Okay. Well, it's time. Oh, it's $15. That's pretty good, actually.
That's not a bad price for this. I think that's worth the pickup.
Okay, so next let's move on to Fall Guys. This is what was punted for this week, so we all could play it. So we could all play it. We could all play it, Getty. Getty?
If only there was a sound was to the glare Getty Davey right now.
I'm glad you guys had fun. I didn't realize that
Joel,
there was a time limit. I didn't realize there was a time limit, Alex, on how long you had to play this game before everybody else talked about it, so that our six listeners could know that you played Fall Guys. Christ.
Getty, it's in the zeitgeist. It's in the zeitgeist. It's what is hot right
now. I can't believe that your pants are so constricted by the boner that you have to play Fall Guys. For Christ's sake, Alex, tell me about Fall Guys.
You have no chill this week.
Right now.
Just tell me. Tell me what I missed, because I'm really... I am sorry. I do apologize.
It's okay. You missed a sixth stream. It was a good time. We had the partners in there.
We did. Yeah. You know, this is a weird one, because it's like... It works almost perfectly as a party game like that, but also, isn't it online matchmaking only with friends? I don't think you can, like, group up with people on the same screen. So you almost have to rely on, like, a webcam setup with friends if you want to try to have the same experience we did with it.
Yes.
So Fall Guys is, you know, Alex was right that, like, wipe out the old TV game show obstacle course thing is kind of the most direct one-to-one comparison, but it is these little jelly bean-like characters that look like they were simplified versions of Dane Beast characters going through multicolored obstacle courses where it is like balancing at beams you have to walk across, seesaw type platforms you're having to lean over and against to try to move the weight balance of it to be able to cross the bridge of it.
They got the good one that was if you remember, it was Legends of the Hidden Temple, where they had a bunch of doors, but some of them would just be straight walls, so you just had to kind of slam into the door and hopefully it would be paper or it would be just a straight wall, so you would just run into a wall.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of different mini game levels here, and it is like, what is it, 3 or 4 rounds, and what it is each one is a process of elimination where it starts with, what, 60 people in a match?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 60 people in a match. And you end up, the first round, it's only a certain portion of the people get to make it to the next round, and so on and so on and so on until you get to the final round, which is like a final obstacle course where at the end of the course is a crown where the winner gets dubbed. And it's a variety of mini games. Some of them are those sort of obstacle course types. There's one that is more like you're standing on a platform and then they're bringing forward walls of different shapes and sizes that you have to get around obstacles of. There are ones that are team battles. So it'll be like pushing a ball across an obstacle course against two other teams, or grabbing eggs from the middle of the course and then having to toss them into your basket and then keep other teams from stealing your eggs. And it is just that sort of like squishy manic fun from those kind of wonky physic kind of platforming games.
It sounds like there's lots.
There is and there isn't. That's kind of the thing, is that there is a lot of repeats, but I think the way it works is that they will have 4 courses for round 1 and then like 6 courses for round 2. So they do expand. I did find new ones. We played for about 2 hours and I found that I then played another hour with a separate group of friends afterwards, and I was still finding kind of new ones, but also doing a lot of repeats. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
because of seeing the repeats, that's kind of where I fall off, is that I think that there might be like a short term level of fun, but I also don't, I question how long I'm going to play this. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I think that, again, the best environment is the way we had it structured, where it is just a social space that you're using. It is a shared activity while you hang out and chat. And without that, it does lose something. Because I played a few rounds on PlayStation 4 before we started tonight, and it's still fun, but like, yeah, it is like Fusion Frenzy. Like it's a set of basically mini games and obstacles that are fleeting.
Yes. So at a party setting, I would definitely have a bunch of people over, people who don't necessarily play video games. I would put this in their hand and say, okay, just go. It's pretty self-explanatory for the most part. You can kind of figure it out, and everyone would have a blast. But I just I'm not going to be a Fall Guys. Like, I'm not going to play 3 season passes worth of Fall Guys.
I mean, Alex, I've been to those parties, and it's everybody. You just sit us down, and you're like, play this. And I'm like, I don't wanna. And then you kick me until I play it. So, yeah, if you have, like, a room of people, I'm sure that it's a lot more fun. Or if you're somehow able to communicate with the people and you know who you're kicking down or knocking off the edge, it's probably more enjoyable than just some rando that is online. What, like, Stud Muffin 63? Or he's probably Stud Muffin 70 because 69's already taken, right?
No joke, I ran across a dude with the name Drebin.
Yeah. No, it's...
Harwood was not amused.
They aren't... It's not. It's only online, but, I mean, again, just passing the controller between rounds was a lot of fun. And we did a stream at twitch.tv/superggradio, and we had all of the partners. We had Hartwig and Sam, Joel and Kelly, Beth and I, and we just kept tossing the controller between each round and letting, like, the next person go. And we were all grouped up. You can group up with people online, but then all that does is makes it so that you're in the same game. And if there's a team game, because sometimes there are team games where you're, like, you know, a group of, you know, 10 and 10 pushing a ball down a hill, who can do it fastest. In that case, you are going to be on the same team as your friends. So. There's a lot going on. They have cosmetics, costumes, silly stuff. For getting it on PC, you get Gordon Freeman with a little what are those things called? I have not played those games.
Head crabs.
Head crabs with a little head crab on.
I don't know if that's the actual thing, but that's not what they look like.
You said you haven't played those games, and yet you were bragging about getting Black Mesa.
Yes, I have. I've played an hour and a half, which means I just sat there while they did dialogue at me.
While they did dialogue.
They're explaining stuff to me, and I don't like it. Just let me kill stuff.
No, it's not even explaining anything. It's like, Gordon, how you doing today? We're doing pretty good. I'm not gonna go in and make fun of Half-Life more than I already say that Half-Life the beginning is boring. There. So, Fall Guys. I had a lot of fun. We all had a great time. I just think that that is where Fall Guys lives, is that specific instance. Because playing it solo, while fun, I think I would play around and then just kind of be like, okay, what else am I doing?
So was it worth it?
Also considering that yeah, for sure. I also just don't know what, like... Yeah, again, the skill ceiling. You know what I mean? Am I going to be a Fall Guys? Again, I'm going to be completing that battle pass and really just, like, killing.
Wouldn't you just,
like,
say, yeah, am I going to be a Fall Guy?
Yes. Duh. I hate you, Eddie. And I hate you, Joel. I just don't know if I'm going to be I want to practice all of the mini games and I want to get a victory and get the number one. No, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Do it. Become the best there is.
I don't want to be the very best.
You could be the ninja of Fall Guy.
Yeah.
No one ever was.
Look, you can make it to Mixer and then back to Twitch.
You don't want them to sell, like, replica blue stained beards at Target?
No.
You sure?
The answer is no. The answer is no.
All right.
Beard money is pretty lucrative. I don't know.
No, I'm, you know what? Ninja's a star, but I'm okay. Speaking of stars, let's rock and roll out of here and into the news. Be right back. Hey, news. I heard you are super hot. Want to go to my pool?
No? Only if it's a kiddie pool.
Pools are a lot of work.
Kiddie pool.
No, thank you.
But it's a kiddie pool.
Yeah. A little plastic one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, but it'll cool you off. It does the trick.
Yeah, but if you put it on your lawn and leave it too long, it kills the grass underneath it.
Who has a lawn?
I mean, Chicago, people who don't live in Chicago.
Alex.
So we have a lot of news this week. So Getty, get ready. Get comfortable. Get your mug that you got, the giant mug. Do you have it with you?
Do I have it with me? Is this a serious question?
You have it on you.
Kind of. Like physically on my purse. I can show you that I have my mug to drink out of.
Yes. The one that's the size of your head.
That is the clearest of water.
So refreshing. And I also have this delicious beer that we're not sponsored by, but is like right around the corner from Alex's house. So
I don't like them.
Is that a Chicago native beer, or is it...
it's a Rosemont beer. Yeah.
Alex said that so derisively.
He's really upset.
I don't like them. I don't like them. Okay.
They have some good beers.
I refuse to have their name on this podcast. I will say White Claw all day. I will not say that brewery's name on this podcast.
All right.
Okay. First piece of news. xCloud coming to Game Pass, which is kind of what we were talking about, that would be a really, really big win. Except for second piece of news, iCloud streaming to iOS devices have stalled, no longer being developed. That is a bummer.
Oh, sucks to have an iOS
that's what
phone,
I would use it on.
Doesn't it?
Well, that's just it. Like, I have a phone. I've got an iPad. Like, it's easy to presume that it's probably Apple's fault because of the way they have a closed garden on their device, and it is just I saw looks on faces, so I was like, what's happening?
Oh, no, I was just holding up my Galaxy and admiring all the xCloud I'll be able to do on it.
Okay, yeah.
Because you're going to use xCloud.
All right, it's a good thing I don't really give a shit about Xbox games, but... it kind of sucks though, because like it's the same stuff that Steam ran into problems with their streaming solution too. Like it got stalled because they had to like negotiate with Apple on it, and then the Steam app couldn't have the option to purchase stuff through it. I think too, because Apple wanted a cut of the sales, and if they let them have their shop within a shop, they weren't getting the cut that they wanted out of it.
Can we stop for? Can we stop for a second on this? I have something to say on this. I hear a lot of people, you guys, I mean, obviously I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and one of the things I always hear was that this compared to the Steam Shop problem in the app on the iOS store. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I have something old. Maybe I've had the app on my phone and it's just grandfathered in and nothing changed. I actively buy stuff on Steam with my phone with the app. Is that a thing other people can't do?
I wanted to say that originally the idea for Steam's app was it was going to have the streaming option as well as the store stuff in the same device, and that was the problem. But if they broke it out into like here's the Steam streaming app and then here's the Steam store app, that was acceptable to Apple.
Okay.
You know, weird, opaque rules that they set up to try to maintain their app store ecosystem and make sure they're getting the right sort of cut of money from developers of the software stuff. This isn't the first instance of this problem happening though. Like it is not unique to Microsoft on this, but it just kind of blows. Just like this is the kind of stuff that keeps us from the kind of unified gaming platform that people want for a lot of stuff. That's like the main draw of Xbox's strategy is like play this stuff anywhere and then asterisk unless you have one of the platforms that a lot of people have. So yeah, you know, I mean, from a practicality standpoint, am I going to use that too much if I have Game Pass? Probably not. But you know, I'm sure I say that now, and then 4 years from now, when everything is in the cloud and I'm jumping from TV to try to jump to my phone and can't do it, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Next piece of news, Halo Infinite multiplayer is free to play.
Is it?
It's free to play.
But at what price?
Apparently. $3.99.
Your dignity.
That's unfair.
No, okay. No, it's not.
I have none left. What? I have no money.
Yeah,
Don't you?
Do we have a problem with Halo multiplayer here?
Are you going to play it?
I don't.
I mean,
I've never played.
Maybe. Maybe some. I'm not saying I'm a stand for it or anything. I'm just saying that like, I'd probably play some.
What next?
Getty hates
Red it. Versus blue? Yeah, what? Exactly. Gears. Throw your hands up in the air.
Gears of War Horde mode?
No.
Have you ever played Gears Horde mode?
I barely played Gears 1.
I used to play it back in the day with Stevers. We were not good at
it's
it.
Okay.
I prefer... God. I can't even think of the damn name anymore.
The joke game?
You must really move prefer on. It.
It's over? All right. Next piece of news.
Halo Infinite multiplayer will be fine. It'll be cool. Next, Avengers, the new game by Square Enix, has Hawkeye DLC as well as PlayStation-only Spider-Man DLC. People are real mad about this.
Wait, I thought it was Crystal Dynamic.
And also
Square. Isn't
Square
just the...
So I think...
And then it's Crystal.
Yes.
Who's... Yeah.
I know because I logged in to get my code for the Avengers beta, and one of the things they accepted was a Square Enix login.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, are we talking movie Spider-Man or PlayStation 4 Spider-Man, comic book Spider-Man, or Sam Raimi Spider-Man?
The best one.
I think it has to be the PlayStation 1 because they have not the PlayStation 1, but the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man.
Not the PlayStation 2 one either.
I want that chunky, blocky-looking Spider-Man with the primary dollar.
All right, Joel, do you remember PlayStation 2, Spider-Man 2? That's the Spider-Man that you get.
Yes.
It's Tobey Maguire. Yes.
The second best Spider-Man game.
Actually, that's accurate, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The swinging made it completely.
Yeah. Well, that Spider-Man coming to Avengers, Hawkeye coming to Avengers, I get it. Of course, you know, people be upset about it because of the PlayStation thing. But, I mean, again, they own that IP. They are running that game. You know, best case scenario, it's a timed exclusive, but I don't think that's the case.
People are getting in a tizzy about a game that, for all intents and purposes, sounds like it's going to be pretty mediocre. Like, and I understand the comic book and Marvel fandom is strong and that brings strong feelings with it, but a little perspective on this would be a good start.
I'm honestly really surprised at how upset, like, everybody, when they even had it announced, people were like, oh, this is trash. This looks like hot garbage. And now they're like, oh, I guess Spider-Man's coming to PS4. Oh, this is the worst thing ever. I'm not going to buy this game. You weren't going to buy this game to begin with. just settle down. That's why I was surprised that Alex was going to get the beta for this weekend. Like, really? You're not going to enjoy this.
I'm also not going to buy the game, no. But you have to pre-order it to get the beta access, and that's what I want to do.
He wants the content.
And then they're going to change the game, and it's going to be nothing like the beta. They're going to be like, oh, by the way, we changed it. And he'll be like, oh, now I have to play it anyway. Content.
I get business-wise why they went for, like, a Destiny-style game with progression systems and stuff, but, like, they could make such a cooler game if they didn't do that. And if they went for like a just more like a 3D action game of some type. I don't know what they're doing.
Nobody does, but it's a game and it's coming out. So we'll talk about it next week, right?
Yes.
Alex will talk about it next week.
Yep. Next, Getty, are you ready for Frog Fractions? There's more of it.
No.
It's okay. Too bad. We're going to play Frog Fractions.
No.
Is this the first time Frog Fractions has been for sale?
Yes, because it's a Flash game. A free Flash game.
Not anymore.
And even on Steam, it's still free. And also, Frog Fractions 2 costs money.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure he's being paid for his genius. That's all.
So, Getty, there is Frog Fractions on Steam that comes with $8 hat DLC where your frog can wear a hat. You with me so far?
Oh, yes. I was with you when we went over this via text earlier in the week. I heard I heard from somebody, I won't disclose their name, but if you buy the hat DLC, then it unlocks a JRPG element to the game. It's even more content.
Well, it's not even just an RPG element. It's a completely different story, and it goes through different genres, including JRPG. But all you have to do is just go through the story, but wear the hat.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
I'm into it. I am very into it, and I will do that. Hartwig calling me out on Twitter, I will one day play Frog Fractions 2.
He's calling you out right now, or it was earlier in the week, right?
No, he did a while ago.
Do you want me to call him out on Twitter right now?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Go for it.
From the Super GG or from my own?
Super GG.
Yep.
He needs to know it's a unified front.
Yep. While you're doing that, Sony had a State of Play. The State of Play was to focus on games. So I'm kind of going to go over this hit list. It's kind of long.
Let's focus on the best game first.
Bugsnax.
We saw gameplay.
We saw legit gameplay. Oh, this game is insane.
It looks like a lot of fun. And it looks like it's got a kind of a deep mechanic pool of trying to capture these bug snacks using different like cool traps and lures and mission structures that has to do with finding the right bug snack for the character you're trying to help out, the NPCs.
There is something really unnerving about how so much of this trailer has pretty decent production values, right? They've got decent voice actors and timing of cutting stuff in and out. But then they point to that news chief person, and the character model while they're talking just looks like somebody controlling a hand puppet. It's disturbing.
Some of the characters look like that. They look like Muppets, yeah. But I mean, look, you guys watched it, the traps, the different kinds of stuff that you can do to get the bugs to pop out. It seems pretty deep and kind of complicated in some of the mechanics. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited for some silly Bugsnax action and just to listen to that song on repeat.
I did the full karaoke. Because they had a karaoke version.
Bugsnax.
I'll link it to you later. It's just got the lyrics, and then they took away the vocals. It's really fun. It's really fun. I did that by myself on a Tuesday afternoon in my living room. No shame. No shame. Hashtag no shame. All right. So the State of Play games. We went over the most important one, Bugsnax. Crash 4, they had some gameplay footage. And I'm not a big fan of Crash Bandicoot. I've played them all. I just don't necessarily have any love for them. But I gotta tell you, they added a new, what they call, I think, an inverted mode, which takes the levels and remixes them to just have this whole new form. So imagine playing a level that you've played before, but all of a sudden now it's black and white and your spin ability paints the world. Or...
Yeah.
Now the entire level is underwater.
Yeah, honestly, you named it better than they did in their trailer. They should have called it remix mode because, yes, it is ostensibly the same level, but they add these little quirks or mechanics that add a different layer of strategy to some of it, too. And that seemed a lot more interesting to me. It's kind of like the whole, Star Road kind of thing with Mario. You know, it's sort of like where the weird and funky stuff really comes out. And that kind of added character is really nice. So, I'm with you. I don't think I'll be a Crash 4 buyer, at least at full price. But, it is nice that they're trying to think of, refreshing ways to remix that sort of stale gaming convention, you know?
Do you know who did this before that, which is kind of funny in my head? Yooka-Laylee. The side-scrolling one.
Oh, okay. And the impossible layer. Yeah, I haven't played that one yet. I've got it free on the Epic Games Store, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
If you play it, you can replay levels on a different mode that will make them like underwater or ice levels or, you know, different things like that. It's not as extreme as this crash mode is, but it does give it that spin that it's like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy that Yooka-Laylee just kind of did something like this. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Next, Hitman 3, which, you know, just a little bit of footage. Look cool, but it's, they're making Hitman 1 and 2 and also, you know, now with 3, available in VR.
I can see the appeal.
This is probably the coolest series that I will likely never truly get into. I've given it several chances, and I played the introduction levels, and it's like, yeah, this is neat. I can see why there's the appeal of this. I'm not into it.
There's just so much, like, there's so much attention to detail, and it's very slow and methodical and plotting how, of course, you can go through and just gun your way through a level, but the real depth is in plotting the kills. So making it in VR, you're not really running around and you're not really, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. It's more about the slow, methodical movement. So VR does make sense. It just never came to me in my head as, oh, this game should be in VR. It never dawned on me until I saw this trailer, and then it all just kind of, oh man, that's kind of genius.
You never thought that way, or you never felt?
That's kind of where I'm at with the Hitman VR.
I don't know. I felt like it. That was the next, or the natural progression of it, is that what better way to explore the life of a hitman than to put it in virtual reality? You probably don't see it from this perspective right away, Alex, but you're going to be interacting with different AI, and maybe something that you do at a table is going to draw attention away from the security guards, or it's going to lead to an instance where somebody else walks up to you, and it's going to change the way that you go about it. It might not be as apparent because it's not in third person in that way. Because I agree, in the third-person view, you get a lot more look at the room, and you can see the different elements. But Hitman has always been about plotting and planning and trying to find your way to the end goal.
That's what I'm saying, is that I think that for some reason it just never dawned on me to do VR, but I think it's really genius that they did.
Yeah.
But I also have to think, now you can experience firsthand murder.
Yeah, that's literally what it is.
Which, of course, that's what VR is to a certain extent, but Hitman, it's the only purpose. It's the only point. Murder.
It's the most direct. Yeah, I agree. It's the most, like, you're going to kill people. In other games, it's like, hey, look, you can be one of the other games was Vader, right? Like, hey, you can be a Jedi. You're going to kill people. Yeah. But it's not advertising like, yeah, you're going to kill people. Like Hitman did.
Yeah.
Well, and Hitman looks smooth.
Next.
And that Star Wars game looks bad. So
it looked pretty bad, especially. Yeah, let's move into Vader. I don't know if you even had it on the list, Alex.
It was really chunky.
I did not have it on the
list. Everything was kind of sluggish and slow. And of all the things that you want to be able to do when you are playing pretend Jedi or Sith, you want everything to be fluid and smooth, even if you're not moving fast. And it stumbles on all those fronts. Like, it is not a good it's not a good, like, showcase for what you want to show VR to be, to me. Like, other than just the pure wish fulfillment of being a Jedi.
Yeah, when they did the scene where he was looking down on all the droids, it looked pixelated to me. It just looked like those were pixels. It didn't look like they were actual droids. I was like, oh god, oh, so bad.
We're never going to get the good Star Wars game.
Hey, well, you mean VR game, right? Because Fallen Order was superb.
I heard that be described too many times as Souls-like for me to be.
It's not as Souls-like, but yeah, I could see why that'd be off-putting for you. Mm-hmm.
For me, yeah.
There's a reason, guys, I didn't have the Star Wars game on this list. Okay.
It's okay.
Braid. I was very confused seeing Braid on here. I was watching the state of play, and I was looking at the art, and I was like, that's a really pretty thing. I don't know what they're doing with it. And then all of a sudden, the Braid character shows up, and I go, oh, why is this here? So they're bringing Braid Anniversary Edition, all new HD graphics, because it came out around the time 360 was around. Did either of you play Braid?
Are people nostalgic for Braid?
They must be.
Well, like, that was kind of the confounding thing to me about it.
It's got interesting ideas.
But like, this thing is being treated like the 20th anniversary of, like, The Godfather. Like, they're coming out with, like, commentary tracks for the game, but it's not just, like, a general commentary. There's, like, different ones for, like, the art, the music, the level design, stuff like that. And the revamping of the art is great. I mean, from a, you know, it looks crisp and beautiful compared to the original, but like the level of love and detail going into this remaster is kind of crazy given, you know, I know it sort of is one of the early successful indie examples for gaming, but it is just, it seems like a bit much.
Well, did you guys play it?
Yes, I did.
I did not.
Okay, then with Jonathan Blow, he's kind of known to be one of those methodical people that really thinks about every detail and has reasoning behind almost every pixel. So I think the conversation comes from wanting to pick apart his brain. Obviously, you know, if you saw Indie Game the Movie, you know, he talked about it at length. But I think it's about seeing every single puzzle from his point of view and how he kind of designed everything. So, I mean, I think that's kind of what you're going to get from it is wanting, if you're, you know, obviously, I think Jonathan Blow, there's only two games that he's really known for, and both seemed like they were kind of, in a way, doing things differently. They were doing things that were yet to be done. So it might be a fun listen to pick someone's brain on something that wasn't really, you know, I played Grim Fandango, and I listened to all the commentary while I was playing, just because that was the peak and the height around that time of like adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
And it that's kind of what you're getting from it, is just what is someone at the height of their game doing and what are they doing differently.
Sure.
But I don't know. I might play this. I haven't played Braid in a long time, so. Next, The Pathless, a new IP where you are what looks to be a cel-shaded archer moving fluidly through fields and attacking demon beasts. It looked interesting. What did you guys think of The Pathless?
Don't forget to pet your hawk.
It seemed
empty. You can pet your hawk.
Don't forget to pet your hawk.
Like it seemed like a fairly empty open world that is focusing on movement, which I think that part is neat, but... if it's as empty as it looks throughout most of the game, I'm going to be kind of muted about the idea of getting it.
You know what it reminds me of? Shadow of the Colossus. Right.
But cel-shaded.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But
I guess I can see the comparison.
Yeah. It looks interesting, but I felt like some of the graphics do need fine-tuning. The one scene where you are petting the hawk to, like, rub it down... Her hand went through the bird. It really bothered me.
That ain't great.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Spelunky 2. That game looks amazing. The amount of things that they've added and changed and altered and expanded upon. Spelunky always seemed like such a surface-level game with not a lot going on until you dug deeper, and then there was a crazy amount of stuff going on. Spelunky 2 just blew the doors off of that, and now they're just expanding in every which way with new mechanics, new expanded worlds, traps, abilities, you name it. This game is going to be massive. So I'm hyped on Spelunky 2.
I'll trust you.
Okay.
I don't have any experience with Spelunky 1, so it looked good, but don't know. Alex is saying it's going to be good, so there's a chance it'll be okay.
There you go. Next, Aeon Must Die. I'm probably going to skip this one. There's currently an ongoing story about them not paying their devs and people going without payment, and the entire dev team quit, so even the IP is up in the air on who owns Aeon Must Die.
They hired Stabs to make the trailer for their game.
Did they?
That's the short and long of it. Yeah.
It ain't a great look. Moving on. Control DLC. Well, we got Alan Wake. Which is exciting. Now, I didn't play the other Control DLC. Did you guys play any of it?
I did not.
I did not either. I thought I heard good things about it. That is one where someday I want to go back and actually finish the side stories of and go through. Like, the world is so interesting. And it's funny calling it the world because it's just one damn building. But the environment they develop is so well fleshed out that you feel like there's so much mystery to explore.
I didn't realize how much I liked the different games by the studio. Like, I was always a fan of Max Payne, but then I played Control, and then I went back and I played Alan Wake, and that I could go back and I could play Control again, and I probably will with all the DLC once it's out.
Yeah, I think I want to go back and play that DLC as well. I heard half decent things about Quantum Break.
It's probably on Steam at this point. Yeah, so maybe I'll do that.
Yes,
but I don't know that it was ever on my radar.
Yeah, it's more about, again, the shooting and the gameplay is okay. And I remember it even being like having a lot of lag to it. But the story, there was like a TV show, just like how there was a TV show in Control that was an ongoing narrative that you could listen to and watch on the side. And so they've been doing that stuff for a long time.
Do you think $40 is a good price for Quantum Break?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but all right.
Getty. Auto Chess coming to PS4.
Pass.
Boom.
Wait till when they announce Battle Chess.
Yeah, Battle Chess. I don't know what Auto Chess is.
What's Battle Chess?
Oh, it's literally chess, except when you move the characters to take another person's piece, they turn into actual, like, living beings, and then they destroy each other. That's literally all it is. I played it on my parents' Amiga computer all the time.
Yeah, we've gone over this before.
Oh.
This is very important and relevant historical gaming moments here.
It's because every time Alex says auto chess, I'd be like, oh, I like battle chess. And then Joel would be like, yeah, that's the shit. And then Alex forgets about it so that the next time we bring up battle chess.
Because auto chess is the shit. Screw you guys. The Pedestrian. You are the stick figure in a sign for a construction sign, and you go from sign to sign as a side-scrolling puzzle game. That looked cool. Hood, a Robin Hood Assassin's Creed looking game. I almost called it Ass Creed. That's what we call it in our friend group. Hood looked a lot like Assassin's Creed.
It looked a lot like Remnant to me. It looked like you're going to have a crew of other hoods, and you guys are just going to go around killing people and collecting loot.
So, do you think you'll be on board for that?
As long as we can convince somebody else to play, yeah, sure.
Okay, then I will be on board with you as well. Lastly, Temtem coming to PS5. PS5.
World premiere?
We'll see if the servers are still on fire.
They might be on fire at that point.
Yeah, I think they've gotten better. That was a ton of news. I would say it sure was a splash. Okay. All right, let's be right back and get into the backlog blog. And we're back with the backlog blog, where we play games we recorded a few weeks ago,
but I cut us off.
That wasn't on purpose. Getty, you played Super Hot. Did you love Super Hot?
Did you love the way
that the game messed with you outside of the game and took control of your computer?
I just want to keep it a brief second. Nice and concise here, because I even heard that in the mind control delete, it makes you, it actually like forces you to sign off and like close the game for 12 hours or something.
They shortened it to 6 hours, I think, because it was originally like 48 hours and people were pissed.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So even in Super Hot, like, okay, so Super Hot, what is it? It's a first person shooter. It's, as Alex would say, the most spectacular, innovative, dynamic shooter of our generation. Nothing is going to beat it. Not even Doom Eternal.
I thought you were going to say not even Doom music. And I was like, throwback to earlier internet years.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
The real catchy part about the game is that as time is not exactly at a standstill, but it is at a crawl, and as you take action, time will speed up. So if you decide you're going to go at a full run, everything around you and the environment will go full speed. If you stand in place, then it'll tick by. And it gives you opportunities to do all the cool action hero stuff, like your John Wick, without having to think as fast as, you know, other games will make you play. So I guess because I haven't played Doom recently, but I remember it being like the newest ones, super fast. And in this one, it's the exact opposite. It's more slow, but you really have to consider your movements, because one hit and you're down. But man, at the end of each stage, it does this really cool playback where you feel like an action hero. And that's where the game really makes it. Being able to, you know, punch a guy, his gun flies into the air, grab it, turn, shoot another guy, dive, pick up a shotgun, and then, but in reality, as you're playing it, there's seconds, there's a good span of time between each one of those actions.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I almost wish that there were some, like, level editor tools or stuff like that where people could choreograph a scene and be able to, like, share it on YouTube or online somewhere easily. Just because I could see a lot of really slick stuff being produced that way.
Yeah, you could do, like, callbacks to some of the better action scenes in movies. I just use John Wick as an example because that's how I felt at certain points playing it. Like, you run up, hit a guy, and then jump over to the other side of the room, pick up a katana, and then throw it through two guys.
Yes. Like, that's,
it sounds outlandish, and it's so satisfying. But I do look forward to eventually making it around to Mind Control Delete, now that I've been able to chalk up some super hot action in the backlog.
There is in the back end, there's a level editor, so you can kind of make your own, but you have to do some custom stuff to the game. But otherwise, Super Hot is the shiz. Getty, did you like where it controlled your computer and turned off the game on you?
I don't recall it turning off the game. It made me turn off the game. It was like, hey, you need to turn this off right now. And I was like, but I want to play the next stage. And he's like, no, you got to go. Like, I don't want to see you here again. And I was like, I actually turned off the game for a couple hours after that. I was like, I know that I'm not done, but I also know that I should take a break. And what system? Was it the Wii that used to make you do that?
Oh, yeah. After you played Wii Sports for, 15 minutes. Why don't you take a break?
It's like, hey, your eyes have been focused on the TV. Like, it's time for a break. Like, no, I don't want to take a break, Wii. Don't make me do stuff.
Stupid Wii.
Yeah. Nintendo trying to keep us healthy.
Do you guys remember WeHaveAProblem.com?
I do not.
No.
Okay, so there's this website when the Wii came out called WeHaveAProblem.com, and it was literally just photos of people who had smashed their TVs because they didn't put the strap on.
Okay.
It just flew out of their hands and, like, through their television.
You notice, like, in those pictures, like, looking back, it always seemed like it was either younger people or older people. Like, there was a certain age group of people that were like, yeah, I know how this works. Like, if I don't have a good grip on this, and then you get, like, the, like, 50-year-old mom of three has her kids over, and she's just whipping the Wiimote at the TV.
Because people our age knew better. We knew better.
Yeah, I imagine that we did.
Okay, so that was super hot. Now, the game I've been playing is Yoku's Island Express.
You said Yoshi, right?
It's a real short game, so I went... No, Yoku's.
You said Yoshi Island Adventure.
Nope.
What did you say?
Yoku's Island Express.
Yoshi Island Adventure.
You
go.
You are a beetle pushing around a little rock, and on this island you've been named to be the next postal service representative, the postman, or postwoman. I don't know what is Yoku. He's a beetle, so I don't think he has a gender.
But you went to mail service? Like, you're a mailman?
You get to the island, and the mailman goes, shit's gone crazy, I gotta go, you're the mailman, I'm glad you're my replacement, and then leaves.
Yeah,
so
that's not
you push around this rock. You push around this rock through the island, and the way the game plays is there are strategic pinball bumpers. And you are hitting the rock through different tracks, doing little mini pinball levels to get to the next part of the island to solve a problem. You'll run an NPC and you'll say, hey, I want this mushroom. And it'll point to you where it's at on the map. It's a pretty sizable map. I'm playing Ori and the Will of the Wisp. The map kind of reminds me of that, where it's kind of a bigger map with lots of paths to explore and hidden things to find. But you get there by going through tubes in the island with pinball bumpers.
So
I kind of played this, just like I wanted something that's kind of relaxing before bed. And this has a nice island theme, little happy-go-lucky positive music, and I'm just hitting pinball bumpers and moving this rock around the island, solving these villagers' problems. Okay. Joel, I brought this to your house. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it's pleasant. And everything up to the point that I played was pretty low stakes. Nothing that was too time-sensitive. I think just the nature of it being kind of a pinball hybrid platformer thing makes it to where it'd be tough to have it be too precise for, like, speed's sake. Because my experience was that, for the most part, it felt great, and it was just this fun, simple thing. But you would get to points where you would get to a zone where you had to collect stuff with the pinball shots, but then you'd have to get the way out the way you came in. And the pinball shot you had to take, the angle you had to shoot, was so specific that it was like I would sit there for 3 or 4 minutes just taking shot after shot after shot, trying to get the right angle to get out of an area. And there were a few spots like that were a little annoying. But besides that, so far, like, it was really pleasant. That is something that I think I'd be interested in picking up sometime. That seems like the perfect, like, handheld, playing on the couch while the TV's on kind of game.
Yeah, and at that point, I understood why you would get frustrated, because at a certain point, you just want to move your character using the analog stick, not pinball. But that's kind of the theme the game's going for. Funny enough, the game's story takes a turn when the old god that lives on the island has gotten attacked and receives the God Killer scar, and you have to help get all the chieftains on the island together so they can figure out what to do with this old one, like a Cthulhu monster who's been put to sleep.
Man, what kind of trouble did Yoshi get himself into this time?
That's the plot. So I thought that was kind of like, I got Joel to that part in the game, and he goes, what happened here? Why is this a thing?
It really is just out. It's out of left field entirely. Like it just comes out of nowhere. You're playing this game and it feels just like this most pleasant, mellow thing. And you're thinking like, I guess I don't really need a story as long as it's pleasant and enjoyable. And then suddenly the old god appears and the end of the world is coming.
And he's got this god killer scar and it's like, what happened? What? I'm interested to find out what happened like later. I want to get like there's going to be a twist or something, and I want to know what's going on. But maybe it's a JRPG twist, and you end up killing God. I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know. But
nice.
I digress. I'm going to continue with Yoku's Island Express. Now that we have talked about Super Hot, I have to hit delete, and now we'll have more content for another week. Right, Getty?
Please don't delete the last 10 minutes of this recording.
I think Getty is revenge. You should just talk about Super Hot again next week.
I could. I could play Mind Control Delete if I find some time this weekend. Ooh. I don't know how that'll go. Seems like I'm already booked up.
I'm calling that we got to do FTL at some point.
Yeah.
That was the video game homework.
I already played it.
Okay.
That's not Joel? Fair. You got a head start.
I didn't get a head start. He said we
it's
have
been
to play
like 4
it.
Weeks.
I downloaded it that night on Game Pass, and then I played it 2 days later.
Did you beat
on
it?
On a Saturday. No, I didn't
did you beat,
beat it.
The run?
I played like 2 hours of it. It's like nothing.
I'm pretty sure none of this ever happened.
Really? You could
Let's
be right.
Let's play FTL for next week.
For next week?
Next week.
But don't you have like 8 betas for us to play next week?
I think that I have one for you guys to do and the other. No, I know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Either next week or the week after. Five? We'll look into it. Let's go into one last thing. One last thing where we give one last sentence, one last statement, sending us into the weekend and you, the listener, into the weekday. For me, sorry guys. Sorry about all the betas. I swear one day we will run out. Next week we got five. We might run out. We'll see. Joel?
Yeah. Hello.
I will redo mine.
Are you there, Joel? What's your one last thing?
Is that what was being asked?
I think so.
Yes.
This has been hashtag fun time, but now it's hashtag bedtime.
Oh, that was so good.
That was pretty good.
I can't follow that.
Getty, what's your one last thing?
I still have carrion. I played 3 minutes of it, maybe 5, and I will hopefully play some more this next weekend, but we'll see. We'll see if I can get away with playing it during D&D.
And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where we have all of our streaming shows going on. Mondays, Mellow Mondays, 2D Tuesdays. I don't know about the other days.
Nice.
I can't remember. We have a lot of streams. I think we only have Thursday open and Sunday. No. Thursday is the only day that's open right now.
Really?
Every other day, you got nighttime streams by all of us at the crew with Super GG Radio. Not this guy at the moment. If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com. Provide a review on iTunes or the Frog Fraction Steam page of your choice. Thanks for listening. GG Joel.
Good game.
GG Getty.
GG.
Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.
Check it.